ACHA. It recorded 495 incidents from October 2022 to September 2023. An alarming increase is projected this year, that is 2024, with more than 1,800 incidents expected October 2023 to October 2024. End of quote. Now, I'm going to make a couple of statements and we can unpack them as we go through the first couple of questions. First of all, the data and those numbers coming out of the ECHA might have to be taken with a huge grain of salt. But generally speaking, it is very well established and normalized that hate and criticism of Judaism as a religion and of the Jewish people solely for being Jewish is a form of blatant act of racism and anti-Semitism and is to be unequivocally rejected and combated. Now, there are attempts made to normalize and equate Zionism with Judaism. Superficially, on the outside, Zionists claim that Zionism was created as a direct reaction to anti-Semitism, particularly in Europe, historically speaking. Its core claim thesis is to combat anti-Semitism by establishing a Jewish home state for all Jews across the world in Palestine, whereby they will eternally be protected and saved from another hate-induced crimes, the likes of pogroms experienced in Europe and another Holocaust. These pursuits of the Zionist movement have eventually culminated in the establishment of the State of Israel, of course, with the help of Western powers at the time. Zionism also claims to be Jewish at core, invoking religion to justify its end goals. Now, on the face of it, everything I said so far sounds pretty benevolent and possibly noble, you know, to a certain audience. So to that end, I want to start by asking you this question. Is this truly the core thesis of Zionism? I mean, has Zionism been an effective tool in combating anti-Semitism? Or is it in general an effective tool in combating anti-Semitism, you know, given the current statistics of the rise of anti-Semitism? And I mean, if you could also point out for us, how attached is Zionism to Judaism and to the State of Israel? Because many anti-Zionists, you know, Jewish or otherwise, are being criticized and accused of being anti-Semites. And much of that rise in anti-Semitism may very well be linked to anti-Israel sentiments.
Now, first of all, about the origins of Zionism and its effectivity in combating anti-Semitism. At the beginning of the State of Israel until its 1948 appearance, after the UN has decided to divide Palestine, the worst decision taken by the UN in its 80 years history, the percentage of Jews supporting Zionism in Europe was between 1 and 1.5% of Jews supporting Zionism in its first 50 years of being. Now, if indeed Zionism was an effective tool, or indeed a tool at all against anti-Semitism, I should think that the percentages would be in the 90s, not 1%. So Jews, on the whole, were not confused by Zionism, did not support it, and actually feared it. The only Jewish member of the British cabinet in 1915, Lord Montague, said that Zionism is a dangerous political development because it will present the Jews of Britain, which have been there for 400 to 500 years at the time, as people who belong to another nation and therefore will enhance anti-Semitism. That understanding was shared by Jews all over Europe. They didn't want Zionism. They didn't need it. And it threatened them because it actually claimed that they don't belong to where they are living. So that's the first thing. The biggest movement in political Judaism or in Jewish political scene in Europe, and especially in Eastern Europe, was the Bund. The Bund was a Russian and Polish in its origin, but the whole of Eastern Europe was influenced by the rising of the Bund. Actually, at the same year, just by chance, I assume, Theodor Herzl had his first Zionist Congress. So the Bund was a progressive, localized mainly, and very strong reaction to Zionist nationalism. The Bund claimed that Jews belong where they live, have to fight for the societies where they exist. Bund was, of course, the Socialist Bund, that was its full name, and to work out with socialists and communists for a better society where they live. So that was, in a sense, the typical and the majority reaction to the end of the 19th century rise in anti-Semitism. Now, anti-Semitism, a lot of Zionist historians claim that anti-Semitism is ahistorical. In other words, it existed always. This is nonsense. Of course, nations didn't exist always. They are basically a product of modernity. And anti-Semitism is a product of modernity, of the rising nationalisms in Europe around 1848 and following that. So, first of all, there were Judeophobic movements or incidents for a long time, indeed for hundreds of years. But they themselves could not be thought of as anti-Semitism. Some of the historians of anti-Semitism get really carried away. So Jews under Muslim rule had been as close to equality as any Jews in the pre-modern world ever had. So this is a very important thing to point out. Now, of course, only 10% of the Jewish diaspora was in the Islamic world. But some of this diaspora was the most important diaspora ever. For example, the Jews of Iraq were there near 3,000 years. They were there before the Arabs actually take over Iraq, and of course, well before the Muslims. So basically, the Jews of Iraq, the Jews of Egypt, the Jews of Morocco, Algeria, Syria, of course, these were very ancient Jews. Of course, when we think about Muhammad in the Quran, the Jews are playing a very important part in the life of pre-Muslim Arabia, and also influenced they and their religion influenced the creation of Islam. So there was what historians later called a convivencia, in other words, a coexistence of Jews, Muslims, and Arabs for thousands of years. The first Christian communities are in the Middle East, of course. They are mainly made up of Jews, like, Jesus himself was born a Jew and died a Jew. So Christianity and Islam, of course, are indebted to Judaism in certain respect, in certain important respects. For example, the ideas of social justice. And the three religions altogether are very important when the UN, for example, is coming to determine the rights of people, what rights should people have. And it goes to those religions and takes, what Jewish tradition through, for example, the prophets has defined as the rights of man, you know, in the words of the UN at the time. So there is a tradition in the Middle East, in Arabia, and in West Asia and North Africa, which the Jews of Europe did not share. That is a tradition of living together for a very long time, of having the same or almost the same rights of the Muslims. And actually, if we look at Jews and Muslims and Christians in Al-Andalus, we see an amazing coming together culturally, linguistically, philosophically, artistically, any way you want, scientifically. You know, the Jews and Muslims and Christians of the Convivencia Al-Andalus have created the basis on which the Renaissance would build later on and would be impossible without. So this is something very important. When people are talking about anti-Semitism, they don't actually mean Europe, they mean Muslims, you know, in Europe. That's how people are thinking, that anti-Semitism is a Muslim invention. This is, nothing could be further than from the truth than that. There was no anti-Semitism in the Muslim world. And in many instances, this is also true today. Now, what we're talking about when we talk about anti-Semitism is something that develops with the Reconquista. The Reconquista of Spain has changed something very important. Until the development of the religious Inquisition in Spain, hatred towards others was probably based in Christianity and its development since the Crusade. This is what happened when Christianity created the movement of taking over the Holy Land in the 10th and 11th century. And those movements were based on the difference in religion. In other words, Christianity looked at Muslims and Jews as others. I have written a couple of articles about the origin of anti-Semitism. The purity of blood was the concept developed by the Inquisition, and the purity of blood moved the otherness from ideas like Christianity or Islam or Judaism to the blood. In other words, to the DNA in the language that we use today. In other words, you couldn't do anything about, you were born Jewish or you were born Christian, and that was the end of it. So that's the difference. This is where anti-Semitism is arising from Christian radicalism in Spain that spread to the rest of Europe. And actually, when the SS in the 30s came to write its rules and regulations, it took quite a lot from the Inquisition basic rules. So, and that's why Zionism has also never fought, never struggled against, never combated anti-Semitism. And Herzl, in the beginning of his diary, in the very beginning of his diary, sets up the scene. He says that anti-Semitism is our partner. Instead of fighting it, we should accept it. Now, that's a very important position to take in 1896. And of course, his diary would remain secret for and unknown for about 50 years. But once it's published, we can read his insights, and his insight was correct. Anti-Semitism is the best partner of Zionism, because if the Jews are attacked, if they are discriminated against, then they would need to leave and come to Palestine. And that's what he was building on. And all the people that he went to speak to, like the Tsar, were devout anti-Semites. And he had no problem of talking to them and telling them that he has brought to them the solution for Jewish population in the countries, because he's going to take them away to Palestine. So this is how anti-Semitism was treated then by Zionists, by the prophet of Zionism, by the father of the movement. And this is how they still treat it today. All the anti-Semitic regimes in Europe are the best friends of Israel. And that's why Zionism has also never fought, never struggled against, never combated anti-Semitism. And Herzl, in the beginning of his diary, in the very beginning of his diary, sets up the scene. He says that anti-Semitism is our partner. Instead of fighting it, we should accept it. Now, that's a very important position to take in 1896. And of course, his diary would remain secret for and unknown for about 50 years. But once it's published, we can read his insights, and his insight was correct. Anti-Semitism is the best partner of Zionism, because if the Jews are attacked, if they are discriminated against, then they would need to leave and come to Palestine. And that's what he was building on. And all the people that he went to speak to, like the Tsar, were devout anti-Semites. And he had no problem of talking to them and telling them that he has brought to them the solution for Jewish population in the countries, because he's going to take them away to Palestine. So this is how anti-Semitism was treated then by Zionists, by the prophet of Zionism, by the father of the movement. And this is how they still treat it today. All the anti-Semitic regimes in Europe are the best friends of Israel. Poland and the Polish the state is full of anti-Semitic theorists and practitioners, but they have no problem with Zionism or with the genocide which is now perpetrated by Zionism. So this is the basis. Now, to the question of, does Zionism fight anti-Semitism? I really ask all of you, have you any proof that Zionism actually notes real anti-Semitism? Because what we are now considering, not us, but the European, American, and the West, in a sense, this is really the West against the rest. So the West is considering anti-Semitic a behavior which is against Zionism and its crimes. So Ahmed and me are anti-Semites by definition, because we're supporting Palestine and we are against Zionism. Zionism is never, has never been and is not now an opponent of real anti-Semitism. In other words, the hatred of Jews because they are Jews. The IHRA has, in a sense, created a new way of thinking about anti-Semitism. And it's not totally new, because Zionism itself, and this is the nub of the question, is not Jewish. What is Jewish about settler colonialism? I mean, are Jews the leader of settler colonialism in Europe? Have they led this movement? Some of them, as individuals, have participated in it, of course, and some of them bought and sold slaves, because that's what Europeans did. But this is something very alien to Jewish tradition. What is Jewish about ethnic cleansing? What is Jewish about genocide? I mean, Jews suffer genocide. Yes, that is true. But perpetrating genocide is Jewish? Is this the tradition the Jews have held for 2,000 years of living in Europe? I mean, this is bizarre that most Jews, most organized Jews, still support Zionism and support, in a sense, the genocide, because whoever doesn't speak against genocide is supporting it. It's like Nazism. You can't be, I don't think I'm for or against Nazism. You know, that position is untenable. Either you're for Nazism or you're against Nazism. The same is true about what is happening in Gaza. Either you're for it or you're against it. You can't be on a non-existing fence here. So that's the last thing I want to say about Jewish tradition of 2,000 years, Jewish experience for 2,000 years, understanding of morality for 2,000 years, as it did not agree and could not accept what happened to Jews as just. Of course it didn't. So how could the Israel, so-called a Jewish state, do what it's doing and justified by Judaism? There is nothing Jewish about the Jewish state. They have hijacked Judaism and converted the minds, not just of the leaders of the West, but the minds of Jews who, until 1967 in most countries, did not support Zionism. So it was a military victory, in a sense, the last military victory of the Israeli army. That's what my book is explaining. And, you know, it was a military change, a military might that converted Jews from Judaism to Zionism in Europe and elsewhere. So we can say Zionism is not fighting anti-Semitism. It is not providing Jews with a safe haven. The only place in the world that Jews are killed because they are living there, not because they are Jews, but they are in danger, is Palestine. That is the only place the Jews are hounded, in the language of this government that we have now in Jerusalem. And of course, I have to clarify this as a lie. They are not attacked because they are Jewish. They are attacked because they're part of a settler colonial state, which is barbarous, which is brutal, which is illegal, which is immoral, and which is against the Jewish tradition and the Jewish religion.